Thank you, Pastor. Let's come back again. We've been excited about coming, looking forward to coming ever since me and the pastor talked. And appreciate y'all giving me the honor to come back and preach in this great pulpit again. And I'm thrilled to be here. Amen. Thank you for the nice place to stay and nice motel. So nice down there. I started not to come to church tonight. Amen. Tired as I was when I got there, if I'd have laid on that bed, I probably wouldn't have come to church. But anyway, I'm glad to be here. We're excited to pray the Lord to do something. I so much agree with what the pastor said. Everybody's so busy. That seems to be what our day is about. Everybody's so busy. Amen. And we don't want to waste time. Amen. We believe the Lord's in this meeting. Amen. And I pray God will do something. I know this. I know it will have to be the Lord that does it. The pastor's already said that. I am well aware of my limitations. Amen. But I believe the Lord can honor His Word and the Holy Spirit can move. We'll be obedient to the Holy Spirit. God can do something. I come to get some help myself. I need help myself. Amen. And so even through my own preaching, I pray the Lord will help me. Amen. And so we're looking forward to that. Amen. I want to start tonight. I guess I don't know if this is unusual or not. But anyway, would you turn to Luke 24, and then we're going to turn to Acts chapter number 1. Luke 24 and Acts chapter number 1. Amen. I have one thing, one other physical thing to pray for. Something happened to my voice yesterday. I have no idea what happened. I didn't strain it. I didn't hardly preach yesterday because I had somebody else preaching for me. But something happened to my voice, so I'm praying I'll get beyond that. Amen. You preachers know what it's like to try to preach when your voice is not functioning like it ought to, amen. But maybe preach it. Maybe that's why it's messed up. I didn't preach yesterday, amen. So maybe after preaching tonight it'll get better, amen. But I pray the Lord to help me with that. But Luke 24, Pastor, I don't know, do y'all stand when you read the Bible? Well, I'm going to let you remain seated if you don't normally stand. Luke 24, and then I'm going to turn to Acts chapter 1. I'm going to read a few scriptures. That's why I'm going to let you remain seated. Amen. But I'm glad I'm saved. Amen. Glad I'm in church. Amen. Glad for the goodness of the Lord. God's been good to us and been good to you. And we thank Him for all His blessings, all His goodness. I'm sure glad the Lord found me and saved me. Changed my life, kept my family together. Amen. Had not been for God's intervention in my life, we'd be scattered, no doubt, wouldn't even be together, but I'm glad God had mercy. Amen. All right, Luke chapter number 24, verse number 46. And He said unto them, thus it is written, thus it behooved Christ to suffer to rise from the dead the third day, and the repentance and remission of sin should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of the Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And He led them out as far as the Bethany, and He lifted up His hands and He blessed them. And it came to pass, while He blessed them, He was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped Him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. Then over in the book of Acts, chapter number 1, very familiar chapter, verse 8. The Bible said, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, all Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. And when He had spoken these things, while they beheld, He was taken up, and a cloud received Him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as He went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you've seen Him go into heaven. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, from which Jerusalem is a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went into the upper room, where abode Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon Zelotes, Judas, the brother of James. And these all continued in one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with His brethren. And those days Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of the names together were about 120. Men and brethren, the scriptures must needs be fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was a guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us and obtained part of the ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity. Falling headlong, he burst the sun in the mist, and all of his bowels gushed out. And it was known in all, and it was known unto all the dwellers of Jerusalem. Insomuch as the field called in their proper tongue, Aselma, that is to say, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take. Let's go to the word of and Lord, the word of prayer, and I want to try to show you where I feel like the Lord wants me to direct this message tonight. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the privilege to come tonight, and Lord, walk in this good church, and God, hear the choir sing, and hear the young youth choir sing, and God, that was a blessing in my heart. And then, Lord, to stand and preach now. We certainly need your help. We need your help physically. And then, God, above all, we need your help spiritually. Pray you touch me tonight. I pray the Word of God would find lodging in our hearts and bring forth fruit. God, that you'd be glorified in our lives. Lord, I'm not here to be an entertainer. I'm not here to be put on some performance. But, God, to preach what thus saith the Lord. So may you help us do that tonight to the glory of God. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. In Luke chapter number 24, and I know these are familiar scriptures somewhat, the Lord is telling them to tarry in the city of Jerusalem, verse 49. Behold, I send the promise of the Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. And that's what I want to try to talk about tonight. The power of God. We need the power of God. As the pastor's already said tonight, nothing's going to be done without the power of God. Then we get to the book of Acts, and he said that we receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon us. Now, I'm not here to teach Sunday school tonight, because we all know this. When you get saved, you receive the Holy Ghost. Amen. But there's a difference between possessing the Holy Ghost and the Holy Ghost possessing us. God wants us to have the power of God in our lives and on our church. I believe one of the ingredients that's lacking in our churches for revival is having and possessing the power of God. Amen. Now, as I begin to think about that, he said, I want you to tarry till you get the power of God. And then when you get the power of God, then I want you to go do what I've called you to do. I think a lot of our ministry today, or a lot of our energy spent in serving God, we're doing it in the energy of the flesh, and instead of doing it in the power of God. So here's what he said. I want you to tarry, get the power of God, and then I want you to take the gospel and reach people, amen. So he said, tarry till the power of God comes, amen. I think some of our revivals, I know many revivals, I feel like I preach and even had my church. We tried to have a meeting, but we tried to do it without tarrying. Somebody help me. We try to have meetings without tarrying and waiting for God to come and move in our church so we can have revival. And I know that would not be the case here. But here's what I want to say. We need power for the hour. Power for the hour. This church, this is the first church. This is the church that I believe Jesus pastored. And he said to this church, if you're going to do what I'm leaving you to do, you will have to have the power of God. And we know the story. This church did that. This church, a little bit later in the book of Acts, he said that you've turned the world upside down. Now here's some, what they referred to, what the enemy referred to, ignorant and unlearned men that had the power of God affected this city so that they said, you have turned the world upside down. You know why they did that? They had the power of God. God, help us to get the power of God. And I am preaching myself on as much as I am you. I pastor a church. We need, and this is the church that Jesus pastored. Now, here's the church that Jesus left, and he said, again, I want to lay the foundation. He said, I'm going away, but you got to tarry till you get the power of God, which is the power of the Holy Ghost, to do what I told you to do. Somebody get me right there. Now, if Jesus pastored this church, this had to be a good church. But it wasn't a perfect church. So in order to have the power of God, I believe the Lord, He knew them. He was their pastor. Amen. He knew some things were needed for them to have the power of God. Now, so stay with me just a minute. First of all, they had to repair some factions that were in that church, or some flaws that were in that church. Look with me in Acts chapter 1 now. And look with me in Acts chapter number 1, verse 13. He said, and when they were come, they went up in the upper room, and there abode Peter, James, and John. Now, here are some people that are in that room. James and John. If you'll go back to Luke chapter 22, you'll find out just about 40 days earlier, and I preached a little bit on this last night, we had the Lord's Supper. At the Lord's Supper, James and John were arguing about who was going to be first. And the Bible said in Luke 22, there was strife in the church over who was going to be number one. So Jesus said, I'm going back to heaven, I'm going to leave you an assignment, but in order to do what I told you to do, you're going to have to get some faction settled in the church. What is that? James and John are going to have to get rid of the strife. Hello, y'all help me. Can you believe here's the greatest men on planet earth, and they're arguing over who's number one? Amen. You know what Jesus did? He got up, he got a basin, he got a towel, and he went and washed their feet. He said, I'll tell you who's number one. The man who's willing to humble himself. Amen. And so to speak, wash feet. He is the one who's got, he's the one who's got the humility and don't want strife in the church. You know what I've always found about when strife's in the church? You know who's going to get it right? The spiritual one. It ain't going to be the carnal one that comes and says, brother, I'm sorry. It's going to be the spiritual one that has to make the move and say, sister, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have did that. Now, what a way for me to start in this good church. Is anybody listening? So I pastored a church for 33 years, and I think we have a pretty good church in spite of the pastor. Amen. But I found out in the best church, which is the church that Jesus pastored, he had two of his disciples that had strife in their life. Amen. And this is going to be a quiet sermon. He said, you're going to have to get rid of the strife in order to have the power of God to do what I called you to do. Is anybody listening? So we got James and John. They're arguing over who being first. Look at verse 15. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, stop right there. Who in the devil wants to hear from Peter? Peter said, hey, church, let me tell you something. Sit down, Peter. We don't want to hear nothing you got to say. You the one just forsook the Lord, said you wouldn't sell him out, said you wouldn't deny him, and you did everything that you said you would. And now you want to stand up and tell us something? Sit down. We don't want to hear what you got to say. Is anybody listening to me? I'm telling you, there was a lot in that church that Jesus pastored that had to get right before we could get the power of God to do what God called us to do. Amen. I'd have said, I don't want to hear what you got to say, Peter. I'd have probably been one of the ones that said that. I'm sick and tired of you preaching. Somebody help me. I am not trying to make you laugh. I'm telling you, in that upper room, here's James and John. They're 40 days early arguing over who's the greatest. Amen. Now, don't that sound real spiritual? And now Peter stood up and said, hey, boys, I'll tell you, I got something to say. Sit down, Peter. We don't want to hear you. Now, you know what I'm telling you, church? Here's what can happen. We come to church together so much, we can get so used to each other that we see all of our faults, we see all of our flaws, and that hinders us sometimes in having the services and doing what God wants us to do. Amen. But you know what the church said there? Peter had failed. Peter was fiery. Peter cut arrows off. Amen. Sometimes you think your pastor said, dear God, the pastor let us have it this morning. He's chopping off hairs. He's trying to chop your head off. Amen. Somebody help me. But you know what the church did? They listened to him. They let Peter take charge after 40 days, hadn't 40 days hardly gone by, and Peter denied the Lord. And they let Peter stand up and say what he had to say, and they had forgiven him. God had forgiven Peter. Jesus had forgiven Peter. Now the church has forgiven Peter. And they're getting the church together to get the power of God to do what God called them to do. So, hey, James and John's arguing over who's first. Hey, Peter had failed. Now we got Thomas in the room. Look at verse 15. And the Bible said in verse number 13, who's in that room? Andrew, Philip, and Thomas. Do I have to tell y'all anything about Thomas? Doubting Thomas. And right in the middle of this Baptist church, somebody help me. How do you know it's a Baptist church? Well, John the Baptist baptized Jesus. Amen. And a Baptist baptized Jesus, and he was the pastor of the church. He had to be a Baptist, amen. If then John the Methodist baptized him, it'd been a Methodist church. But John the Baptist baptized, so it's a Baptist church. Somebody help me. And Thomas is there. Everybody knows about Thomas. He didn't have no faith. But he's in that group right there, in that church right there, assembly, waiting on the power of God, amen, to come so they can do what God called them to do. Hey, church, I'm just simply saying to us, in our assembly, you know, I thought one time about Jesus. Jesus was the pastor. You know who he pastored? He pastored Thomas, a doubter. He pastored Peter, a cusser. And he pastored Judas, a devil. And he was a perfect pastor. So in 12 disciples, he had a cusser, a devil, and a doubter. And that was among his good people. Here's our reason. Sometimes we read this Bible and we think the people in the Bible, hey, oh, some, you know, they're far superior to what we are. Can we make any relation to what those were? I'll tell you, they were just as sinful as we are. And they had to be dealt with in order to do what God called them to do. Hey, the church is not made up of perfect people. The church is made up of imperfect people that God is trying to perfect through the preaching of the Word of God. Amen. So here's Thomas. He's a doubter. I can tell you why he doubted. He missed the evening service. Jesus arose on Sunday morning, and Thomas wasn't there Sunday night. That's a sure way to start doubting. Amen. You know when he stinked, you know when he quit doubting? The next Sunday night, he showed up, and Jesus showed up, and got his doubt saddled. He started doubting because he missed church. He got his doubt saddled because he went to church.
That's right.
Amen. And by the way, Jesus had took the blood and put it on the mercy seat. Hey, he arose from the dead on Sunday morning, put the blood on the mercy seat, and got back for the evening service. You don't live so far away you can't get back. Hey, I read somewhere that the furthest known celestial body is 1,400 billion light years away. They tell me there's 6 trillion miles in a light year. And the furthest known celestial body is 1,400 billion light years away. That's the Father knows. And then the third heaven's beyond that. And that's where Jesus put the blood. And he got back for the evening service. Somebody help me, ready? Well, preacher, I wouldn't be back for the Sunday night service. But you know I have to drive. Hey, Jesus went a long way and got back in time. He got back on time. Somebody help me. Here's my point. Thomas got his doubt settled. Jesus said, you're not going to do what I've called you to do until you get the strife settled, until you forgive Peter forgives himself, amen, till Thomas gets his doubts out, amen. Hey, I'm just simply saying, hey, God has got to work on our churches to get us where we need to be, even good churches. God has to work in our church to get our church relationships right so we can have the power of God. Hey, so he had to deal with church relationships. Then he had to deal with business relationships. In John 21, Thomas, after the resurrection, Peter went over there and went back fishing. And he took some of the members with him. Hello? So Peter started the fishing business again. And he said, I need some of you men in the church to help me with my fishing business. And he went all night, fished all night, and caught nothing. So his business was going down. And he's got members in the church in his business. Now they're mad. Y'all stay with me. Because the business they got involved in with a brother in the church is not working out right. And now they're coming to church together and the business relationship is failing. And they're mad at each other in church over a business relationship. Somebody help me. Amen. Are you listening? I was preaching a revival. I won't tell you where, and I won't tell you when. And I don't preach in a lot of large churches, but this was a large church for me. And I hit that point. I did not know anything that was going on in that church. The pastor came to me after the church. He said, "Brother Willis, I'm not believing what you said tonight." I said, "What's that?" He said, "I have a very wealthy businessman in my church that employs numbers of people in the church, and they all work together. And there were some odds on the business relationship, and it's created havoc in my church." And he said, "Tonight I saw them all on the altar. Amen. And they all got right about that situation. And God moved in the revival." I'll tell you, just simple business relationships. Coming to church, got business relationships that are not panning out like they ought to be, can create havoc in the church. So we can't have the power of God. And the reason I know that is I pastor a church that I have numbers of men who work together on the job. Amen. And sometimes they get it odd on the job and bring it to church. And so I preach on it. Get it right. Amen. What are you trying to say? They had to get business relationships right to have the power of God. They had to get family relationships right. Look at verse number 14. "And these all continued in one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren." Now here's Mary in that church setting. Now if anybody had a right to be upset, it would be Mary. She's looking at the very crowd that forsook her son. Anybody listening? Mary could have been very bitter sitting in church because you men let my son down when he needed you the most. Amen. And so Mary's got to get her heart right to forgive the church for letting her son down. Sometimes in our churches, and you can't win. If you got family in your church, the church says, "Well, he just got family down there." And then if you don't have family in the church, "Well, he can't even get his own family." You can't win. If you got family in the church, you shouldn't. If he ain't got family in the church, he ain't no good. Somebody help me. But here's Mary. She's looking at members of the church that let her son down. She's got to get her heart right about it, that she don't hold bitterness in her heart against those that forsook her son when they crucified him. As a matter of fact, when he was hanging on the cross, the Son of God was hanging on the cross, he looked at John. He said, "John, behold your mother, and mother, behold your son." Here's what that means. I want John, you to take care of mama. But now in the church is his half-brothers. The Bible said brethren. So now these men have gotten saved after the resurrection, who is the half-brothers of the Lord. And they're in the church. And John is taking care of their mother. Is anybody help? Somebody help? So they could have well been saying, "Why is John taking care of mama when we ought to be taking care of mama?" And we got family relationships that got bitterness and strife in family relationships. And we're coming to church to get the power of God. And we got to get that out to get the power of God. Is anybody listening? By the way, if you take care of mama and the other kids ain't, you can't do it right. They ain't going to take care of her, but they don't like the way you taking care of her. Preacher, I think you come to meddle. I come to preach. Are you listening? They don't want you. They don't want to take care of mama, but they don't like the way you taking care of mama. Somebody, how do you know that? Because I experienced it. Hey, my brother-in-law wouldn't take care of his mama, and me and my wife took care of her mama, and he got mad because we wasn't doing it like he thought we ought to do it, but he wouldn't even come see her. Hello. Hallelujah. So here's what I'm saying. In order to get the power of God, notice the key. Notice the key in Acts chapter 1. Amen. In Luke chapter 24, the Bible said they were all in one accord. The Bible said they all got in one accord. They got their church relationship settled. They got their business relationship settled. They got their family relationship settled. And so now God can pour out the power of the Holy Ghost. Somebody help me. Amen and amen. Hey, these situations come to our church to create discord and differences so that we won't be in one accord. Amen. To get God's power on our church so we can do what God has called us to do. And I'm telling you, that hymn is revived. I don't know a lot about it, Pastor Sexton. I don't know a lot about it. As well, I know I've been told. I've preached a few revivals. I've heard in my preaching and I've heard in reading. One of the main things that hinders revival is this unity in our churches. We've got to get the unity in the church to be in one accord to get the power of God to do what God's called us to do. I don't know if I'm doing a good job, but I feel like I'm preaching. Amen. I think a lot of our revival meetings anymore is jubilee, jump over a pew, have cold chills. I'm telling you what we're going to have to do to have revival. We're going to have to take drastic action to get sin out of our lives to have revival. I'm talking about a good church. Amen. I had a lady come to me the other night, and she said, "Preacher, you do your best preaching." This is what she told me. "You do your best preaching when you're telling me about my sin." Are you listening? I'm telling you, church heads, where we are. We're in a critical hour. And I'm telling you, it's going to take some drastic. We won't revive. We say we won't. And I know I'm with you. We say we won't revive. But revival is going to come at a price. You may have to humble yourself to get some strife out. Family, business, church. Whatever it takes to get it right so that God can blow through this place and do a job in our church. Like that, the church that our pastor needs that. Amen. You know what I'm finding myself, preacher? I ain't got to inject all this. The older I get, I've been in my church 33 years. The older I get in pastoring, I am convinced we got to deal with our sin. In a church like this, I'm telling you now, listen to me. In a church like this and like mine, it ain't drinking, smoking, and cussing that's killing us. Amen. It ain't them outward sins that's killing us. It's them inward sins. Jealousy and strife and covetousness. Amen. Hey, that's what's killing us. Hey, I'm convinced in this church tonight, I ain't got to preach on drugs. I ain't got to preach on things like that. I'm telling you what's killing us. It's them inward sins. Amen and amen. Them sins nobody can see, but God knows about it. They grieve the Holy Ghost. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed to the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamoring and evil speaking be put away from us. Amen. When God told me, I didn't come to preach this tonight. When God told me, I said, "Lord, I don't want to preach that on the first night in a good church." I'm telling you the truth, Pastor. But I'm telling you, I don't care. This was a church that Jesus pastored. This was Peter, James, John, Thomas, the disciples that gave their lives. God had to deal drastically with them to get them right so the power of God could fill them. Are y'all listening to me? You see, the church is an organism. Hallelujah. All of us are working together. Arms and fingers and toes and legs. Amen. Everybody's important. But God has to get all that working together to get done what God wants us to get done. Because we are an organ. We are a body. Amen. And the body, hey, if one part of the body is hurting, it causes the whole body to hurt. Amen. So we must work together to do that. When Jesus came to earth to do His ministry, He took a body. Jesus was in heaven. He didn't have a body. He was in the form of God. He was in the form of God. He must have been a spirit. But God said, "I've got a job to get done." Amen. And you're going to have a body to do it. Because a spirit can't die. A body has to die. So He took upon Himself a body. And He came to planet Earth. Amen. And enrolled Himself with a body so He could go to Calvary and die. But He went back to heaven. Now, when He went back to heaven, He left another body. And that body is the church. Hey, when Jesus came to earth, before He started His public ministry of preaching and ministering, the Bible said that the Holy Ghost came upon Him. Amen. Now, we're talking about, please, I ain't got to teach Sunday school, but the Bible said before He took up His earthly ministry, the Bible said He got baptized and the Holy Ghost descended on Him like a dove. Say what you want about that. We're not going to get into all the technical. I'm just simply saying. And Jesus said, "Now to heaven, Christ is going back to heaven. The church is the body to do what God has called us to do." And the Bible said in Acts chapter 2 that the Bible said the Holy Ghost came on the church. when it came on Jesus, it came as a dove. In Acts chapter 2, when it came on the church, it came with fire. Are you listening? Hey, a dove represents purity. When the dove descended on Jesus, there was no impurities in him. So it came in the form of a dove. When it came upon the church, they were sinful. And God sent fire, amen, to purge the church. Hallelujah. Are you listening? You know, in order Jesus come to earth, he had to leave his location. Amen. He left heaven. To do what God called him to do, he had to leave his location. Amen. For the church to do what it has to do, you may have to leave your location. I wasn't raised in St. Stephen. I was raised 75 miles down the road. But to do what God called me to do, I had to move. Somebody help me. You may have to leave your location to do what God wants you to do. Yeah, man. He left his location. Amen. Hey, he changed his looks. Hallelujah. He was in the form of God. Now he's in the form of man. So Jesus had whatever form that was. God's a spirit. He must have been a spirit. Now he's a man. And forever he will be a man. He will never be what he used to be. At the right hand of God is Jesus Christ, the man Christ Jesus. And he changed his looks permanently. He will never go back to be and look like he used to look. In order to do what God wants you to do, you might have to change your looks. Hello. You might have to look like a Christian. And saying, I am a Christian, you may have to look like a Christian. And hey, you don't look like a Christian and somebody makes you mad and the preacher preaches something you don't like. And then you go back and look like you used to look. You change your looks permanently. 33 years here at the Life Baptist Church. I've seen a lot of them come and change their looks and they got mad at my preaching. Then the next time I see them in Walmart, they look like they used to look. Somebody help me right there. They didn't change for the Lord, they changed for the preacher. Yeah. Wouldn't it be good if we got some convictions out of the Bible of our own convictions? In the meanwhile, live on the preachers till you can get some of your own. Amen. Praise God. He had to change his location. He had to change his looks. He had to change his lifestyle. He was in heaven being worshipped. Hey, man, but he come to earth and they tried to kill him. I'll tell you, if you're going to be what God wants you to be, you may have to change your lifestyle. This world, hey, this world is not a friend of grace. Matter of fact, the darker thou, the more we're being persecuted. I'm telling you, Pastor, you got the same, we all got the same problem. Our ladies can go down on a job, no, go wherever they go, not necessarily a job, go wherever they want to go, and they're looked at as being peculiar, and they don't even have to say it. People run them down just because, it's not because, well, look at me, look how I'm dressed. They don't have to say that. The world just looks at us and says, y'all are strange looking people. Well, that used to be normal, and they used to be strange. Now we're strange, and they're normal. Amen. You may have to change your lifestyle. Amen. I want the power of God in my life and on my church. You may have to change your lifestyle. You may have to change your looks. Amen. Hey, he limited himself. Before he became a man, he could be anywhere, everywhere at one time. But now that he's become a man, he can only be one place at a time. Though he is God, he can still only be one place at a time. In other words, here's what he did. He limited himself. I'm talking about the God of heaven limited himself from being everywhere at one time to being one place at a time. And I'll tell you, if you're going to be what God wants you to be and we get the power of God on us, amen, you may have to limit yourself. There's some things I can't do that I used to do. Amen. There are some things. This message is getting long. I thought it was going to be short. There are some things that I really, legally can do that you can't find it in the Bible. But I don't do them because I don't think it would be becoming to me as a Christian to do that. I am about sick of this. Everybody wants to know, well, why can't I do that? They want a book. They want a chapter. They want a verse. You might ought to just do it because it would be pleasing to the church and pleasing to the preacher and pleasing to God. And I don't have a chapter and I don't have a verse. God just would bless you if you do it. Amen. I don't read in the Bible where thou shalt not smoke. But I don't think you ought to smoke. Thou shalt not smoke marijuana. I have not read that in the Bible, but I don't think you ought to smoke marijuana, somebody. I'm telling you where we are. Well, preacher, why can't I do that? Because we preach you ought not do that. Amen. And sometimes when I ain't got a verse and a chapter, I do have a principle. Amen. But people, I tell you what they want to do. They want to live so close to the world. Amen. That they're part of us, but they don't want to be identified with us. So they try to just get right on there. Oh, y'all happy. You may just have to limit yourself. Amen. Jesus could be everywhere at one time, but he took a body and he said, I'm willing to limit myself to be at one place at a time so I can please God and get the job of redemption settled. Yeah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm just simply saying to us, they got him on a cord. The Bible said that they got him on a cord. Look at that. Acts chapter 2 verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost fully come, they were always of one accord in the place. They got all these factions settled. They got all the family relationships settled. They got all the business deals settled. They got all the church relationships. And they said, more than anything, we want the power of God. And the Bible said they turned the city upside down. Hallelujah. Can that happen again? Brother Donnie, can that happen again? I don't know, but I want to be a candidate to see if it can. Amen. I'll tell you this, Pastor, and I'm doing a lot of ramming tonight. I'll tell you this. I don't know if it can be done again, but I'll tell you, I want to put myself to be a candidate that I believe it can, and I'm going to try. And if God don't do it, at least I can say I tried. I want to be in my town for 30. If I've been there 33 years preaching like y'all preaching what we preach, why preach all that if it don't make a difference? Let's just become a bunch of liberals. No, I don't want to be no liberal. I want to be a fundamental Bible-believing Christian. And if that don't affect nothing, I still have lost. I've gained, amen. Hallelujah. Dear God, y'all kill a white man up here in these mountains. Hallelujah. I think I heard her thinking over here, riding over here tonight. I didn't hear her say, but I think I heard her thinking. I hope he takes it easy tonight. And I really did plan to take it easy. I was going to preach my little outline. I was going to do all I could. But I was just going to kind of take it easy on the first night. And I'm telling you, when I stepped in this pulpit, something happened. Hey, we're trying to have revival. This is not just a get-together this week and a performance from Alfred Willis. This is serious business. God wants revival in our churches. It is happening some places here and there. God is moving some places here and there. Hey, it's few and far between. I'm like the pastor. I've preached a few revivals. I want to see one. I'm like the pastor. I've seen a few little skirmishes, but I want to see a genuine Holy Ghost, not a personality, but a power of God move. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. They got him on accord. You know how church we got instruments and music like y'all do? We got a mandolin, we got a fiddle, we got numbers of guitars, got an organ, got a piano. And I always notice when I go in there, I don't know nothing about music except I like it. I don't know a bit about a thing about music except I like it. But when I go in there, I see them young people, they got the mandolin, and they got the fiddle, and they got the guitars, and they got some little gadget they pull out back there, and that fella sitting over there, he's tuning his guitar to that little gadget. In other words, he don't take the guitar and go over there and tune it to the fiddle, and then take the fiddle and go over there and tune it to the mandolin. Amen. That ain't how they do it. They tune it all to one little gadget. And when all those instruments are tuned to that one little gadget, then they're all in tune. That's all I know about music. Here's what I'm saying. My job ain't to come to church and be in tune with you, and in tune with you, and in tune with you, and in tune with you. My job is to come to church and be in tune with Him. And if you're in tune with Him, and you're in tune with Him, and I'm in tune with Him, we'll be in tune with one another. Hallelujah. I can't go to church and preach to help him and help her and help. I just got to be in tune with God. And if I'm in tune with God and they get in tune with God, we'll get in tune. Amen. Amen. They did. Here's my point. They did. And God sent the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And they left that place and shook the city for God. What the people call ignorant and unlearned men shook the city. We've got so many degrees today and we got less heat than we ever had. I was preaching a revival some years ago, and I wrote up in a parking lot, and out on the, what do you call that? The marquee? I don't know what they call it. The sign. Out there on the sign, it had Dr. Alfred Willis preaching. And I looked, I drove up, and I said, Dr. Alfred Willis. And I looked at my wife, and I was laughing. I said, they got but you know what? She was laughing harder than I was. She thought that's a real joke right there. Amen. We don't need Dr. Willis. We need Dr. Jesus. Hey! We got more degrees and less heat we ever had. Amen. Amen. I'm just simply saying they got in one accord. They had to repair the faction. Number two, they had to recommend the saints. I ain't never spent that long on that first point. They had to reckon with the faint. Look at verse 15, and I'm a hurry. And those days Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of names together were 120. You know how many people was in that church meeting? 120. You know what I'm told the average church runs in America when you put them all together and divide it? The average church is 87 people. The average church runs 87 people. They had 120. But hey, listen, this is the church Jesus fasted. And Jesus is going back to heaven. Now, here's my question. Jerusalem at that time was excess of 600,000 people. And in that big city, they got 120 people in a church that Jesus fasted. Are you listening to me? Here's my question. Where's all those other thousands that Jesus healed? Where's all those hundreds that those he called from the dead, those that he gave the sight back to, those that that were crippled that he healed? Hey, just name them by the hundreds and the thousands that Jesus, 5,000 people he fed with 5 loaves. I want to know where they at, not in that church meeting. I mean, they saw God himself. I mean, they saw the power of God. I mean, they witnessed the power of Almighty God. I mean, miracles and raising dead. They saw it all. But when they come to a prayer meeting, they didn't have 120. Where is the rest of that crowd? I'm asking. I ask myself that. This is the church Jesus started. Here's what my answer is. I don't know where they are. But I found out about that crowd. If you focus on that crowd, they'll rob you of your joy. Now, Brother Sexton, I'm telling you the truth. I've been in my church 33 years. And I'm just going to be honest with you. I've had revival meetings in 33 years. And I'm telling you, I have stood at the window and said, God, please let, I got the evangelist here. Please let somebody come. Come on now, y'all church. Y'all better help me. I've looked out the window and say, oh God, ain't nobody coming? We ain't got but 5 minutes for church. God, ain't somebody coming? And by that time I see this is the truth, Brother Donnie. By that time I see a visitor driver. I said, God, the way it's looking here, I don't even want the visitor in here because he's going to come in here and see it ain't nobody. And he's going to say, that's a sorry church. Let him get sick and go home. Somebody help me. And when the revival was over, I was worse off than when it started. You know why? I let that crowd that didn't come rob me. And I'm telling you, I don't care what church you go to, you will have a revival, sir, and all the members, they go show up. Jesus had a church they didn't show up in. The greatest preacher that ever preached, all of his members didn't show up. I'll tell you, that crowd will rob you. So I don't know why. I don't know all about it. Our church tonight, but I do know this. Don't let that crowd that don't come, let them pray for them, but don't let them rob you when you get here. Because they'll take the blessing away from you because you take it on them. You ain't going to make them come.
Amen. Are you listening? You can't have good enough services to cause them to come. You, preacher, ain't we telling the truth? We've had God settle down in our church on a Sunday morning. They're shouting. They're running up and down the aisles. Woo! Glory! Woo! I mean, we extended the service and we come back Sunday night and some of those that were shouting, but there's somebody help me! You ain't going to have good enough service. I don't care if Jesus is preaching Sunday night. They ain't coming. Thomas didn't. He may as well say amen. I've let that crap. I tell you, I believe for the first 10 years on Wednesday night, I preached to the goats. I preached to the crowd that wasn't there. I'm sorry, devils wouldn't come back to church Wednesday night. I preached on them for 10 years. I come to find out they wasn't hearing the word I said. Is anybody listening? I looked out there and the sheep was about to die. I said, you know, I better feed the sheep, but they ain't coming back. Amen. They'd be dead. I'm glad we can laugh a little bit, but I wanted to get me on laughing. You better mark this down. That crowd will rob you. I tell you, they robbed Moses. Moses said, we're going to the promised land. And Moses got so mad trying to get them there that he hit the rock. And God said, Moses, you ain't even going. How many preachers have lost it trying to make them get it? Not your salvation. Are you listening? You may as well say amen. I'll tell you what was there. I'll tell you who was there. John, Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew. The officers was there. Now in our church, and I'm sure it's this way, if you're an officer, you got to be there. I can't make that other crowd come, but if you could be an officer, you coming. If you teach Sunday school, you got any office in our church, when church is open, you're going to be there, or you ain't going to be an officer. And I tell you who else is there. The choir's there. And I'm telling you, if you were singing our choir, you going to be there, or you ain't going to sing in the choir. That's just the way we do it. Amen. Are you listening? So we got the officers there. Amen. And we got Peter standing up. And we got the choir there. Let's have church! And the rest of that crowd after church tonight, we'll go home and pray for them. But ain't no let them harm this service tonight. Amen. Praise God. I often thought, why would a sinner come to church if a member won't? Why would we want sinners to come to church when members won't be faithful? Why would we think sinners ought to come to the altar when saints won't come to the altar? Hallelujah. Well, I hope this ain't the last night. But I tell you what, I did think about that service, Pastor. I tell you what happened, that crowd didn't show up. They didn't get filled with the Spirit. The Bible said in Acts chapter number 2, they got one accord, and the Bible said the Spirit came. And they all got filled with the Holy Ghost. I tell you, that crowd that wasn't there, they didn't get it. But we was there, and the Spirit of God came in it, and you can't put it on CD, and you can't put it on, and you can't put it on microwave or whatever the things are. Amen. You can't duplicate it and give it to them and say, "Listen, what happened in our church? You ain't that ain't gonna help them. They gotta be here to experience it." And you tell them, "Oh man, you should have been in church last night. Oh man, God showed up." You may as well shut up. They don't believe you. Amen. I tell you what happened to that crowd one day. They did not get filled with the Spirit. I tell you something else they missed. They missed a great service. The wind blew. Amen. The Bible said the Spirit of God came like a rushing mighty wind. Hallelujah. I have been in a few where the wind blew. And if you ever get one where the wind blows, you'll never be the same again till you get back to it. You know what's happened? Some of the old timers, they remember when the wind used to blow. Hallelujah. And now we don't, and we long to see the wind blow again and the power of God come again. Is anybody listening? Hallelujah. Our church is not where it used to be. I'm preaching the same way I've always preached. Our church is not where it used to be. I do see a little progression in our church. I do see a few things happen, but we're not where we used to be. And I'm telling you, Brother Donnie, to have been there and not be there today is what I long to see back there. Amen. I've seen them get loose. I've seen them run the aisles. I've seen a few of them run up to church. We ain't had that happen in years. And I'm not making that. I'm not saying that's spirituality. But I'm saying God breathed on our church. Amen. It was nothing unusual to see somebody saved on a Wednesday night. I don't know the day I've seen somebody saved in a prayer meeting service. That may be a reflection on me. I'm just simply trying to say, if you've ever been there and you're not there, you're long for it again. Amen. I want to see the wind blow. That crowd wasn't there. They didn't get to see. That crowd that was there, they did get to see. Anybody listening? Hey, I'll tell you something else they missed. They missed seeing Peter preach his first sermon after he got right. Peter got up. Now, here's a man so backslid, I don't know him. I don't know him. I don't know him. I'm going back to fishing. And he got right with God, and he got up and he preached a sermon, and 3,000 people got saved. I would have liked to have been there for that. I'd have liked to have been one of the counselors. Oh, man, help me. That crowd didn't see that. Amen. I want to see people get saved. Are you listening? Hey, I'm through. They could not rely on their feelings. They had to reckon with the faint. Are you listening? They had to repair the factions. They had to rely on their feelings. Look at verse 16. Verse 16. Men and brethren, this scriptures must need be fulfilled with the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was the God of them that took Jesus. Look in verse 20. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, let no man dwell therein. And his bishop let another take. Now they had a wrong feeling. Let me give them a point. I'm about through. Hey, they had seen Jesus. They had handled Jesus. But now Jesus is gone. But wait a minute now. But the Spirit ain't come yet. They're in that upper room. Jesus is gone. And the Holy Ghost ain't come yet. Not in power. Not to empower the church. So here they are. Jesus is gone. The Holy Ghost hadn't come in power. And they're in limbo. And what the only thing they got to rely on is what David wrote in the book of Psalms. So they had to rely on what thus saith the Lord in the Bible to do about Judas who had failed in transgression. And you know what, brother? Sometimes that's where we got to get. We just simply can't rely on feeling. We got to rely on thus saith the Lord. Amen. Here's what I think. In my opinion, is very small. I think we have got revivals down to this. We've had a revival. If we shouted, run the aisles, jumped the pews, had an emotion, man, we had a meet, and I'm for that. Promote it. I want to be in it. But that necessarily is not revival. If you do all that and you hadn't changed, a bunch of motion, amen, without devotion, it's a bunch of commotion. Amen. And believe me, I'm for it. I'm getting too old. I can't hardly do it no more. But I'm telling you, I'm for emotion. Praise God. I'm for shouting. Amen. But I'm telling you, there's a bunch of glory preachers running all over this country. And they're all old time. I like the old time way. I like the old time. They talk about a King James Bible and shouting. They ain't talking about holy living. Because I've seen some of them preaching that and their wives are wearing miniskirts. Because I've been in meetings where they're preaching and they get in the pulpit and say, I like the old time way. I like the old. And I just saw his wife at the motel in a miniskirt. So don't tell me about old time way. Old time way produces godliness. And then get you a King James Bible and then shout, amen. And I'll be with you. But I ain't shouting on this bunch of carnality. Amen. Dear God, I am loaded for bear tonight. Somebody help me. You just have to rely on the Bible. I'm going to do what the Bible said if I get a thrill or a chill. And that's what they had to do. I'm through with that point. They had to replace the fallen. Verse 24. The Bible said, and they prayed and said, Thou Lord, that knowest the hearts of all men, show whither these two men Thou hast chosen. And then he goes on and talks about the two men that they picked. Amen. Amen. And he says, show us which one of these men that we're supposed to pick. Now here's what I found out. Amen. I want to show you something I feel like the Lord showed me. The Bible said it was known about Judas that he failed. And now because Judas is gone, they had to put a man in his place. You know, I found out this. Here's what I thought. God said the church has got to be in one accord. Judas wasn't. Now put this any way you want.
Judas killed himself, but God took him out. He was not in one accord. Judas never was saved. And God said, this church has got to be in one accord to do what I'm leaving it to do. I got to have the church in one accord. And Judas wasn't in one accord. And I'm just saying it for principle's sake. God moved Judas off the scene and said, I got two to take his place. Are you listening? So God sometimes, please understand what I'm saying. Because I don't be careful. I've never preached, you look better going than coming. I've never preached that way. But I am telling you, Pastor, sometimes God moves people out of our churches to get our church in one accord. And I hate to see people go. But sometimes God has to take you. And I tell you, it's always a heartbreak. But sometimes God has to move people out of our churches so our church can get in one accord and get the power of God so we can do what God wants us to do. I remember when I started the church. I've been there 33 years. I started the church 33 years ago. And I remember after we started, I had a couple of men in the church. And one Saturday they showed up, make a long story short, knocked on my door, I was getting ready for visitation. They knocked on my door, I went to the door, I answered the door, and they said, I said, hey fellas, I said, how y'all doing? They said, preacher, we stopped by, we want to visit with you a few minutes, and got a few things to discuss with you. I said, well, I'm getting ready to go on visitation, which that should have been where they were going.
Yeah, that's right.
I said, well, we can talk. I got a few minutes. So they went and sat down at the table. I said, I'll drink a cup of coffee. Y'all have a cup of coffee. They had a cup of my coffee. I gave them a cup of coffee. And I said, now, what do y'all want to talk about? They said, well, preacher, we just have a few things we want to mention. I said, number one, they said, we don't like the way you make announcements. I said, do what? They said, we don't like your announcements. They said, your announcements are too long. I said, I agree with you. I cannot stand announcements. I'm telling you, I'm glad y'all told me that. Let's do away with announcements. I am happy. I will do that. Hallelujah. Next point. Well, the next point is, you don't have consideration for people. I said, tell me about that. They said, well, when you open up the Bible, you tell people to stand when you read the Bible. I said, man, I ain't never thought about that. They said, some people out there can't physically stand up. I said, thank you. I said, I'll just open the Bible and I'll say, all that's physically able, stand. If you're not physically able, just remain seated, taken care of. That's what you call a pastor that wants to get along. Point number three, they said, there are some things you preach. I said, hold it right there. I will take care of the announcements. I will take care of considering people, but you ain't going to tell me what to preach. And one looked at the other, and then they looked at me, and they said, do you know this man right here is the most well-known man in this town? And he was. He's why I went to that town. He said, if he leaves your church in the infancy, he said, everybody in town's going to know it. And he said, this church will fold. And here's what I did, Pastor. I said, oh, is that right? I said, I have you to know, I'm the pastor, and God started the church. And if God started the church, God will see the church move on. But in my heart, I said, he's right. I'm just telling you. I am telling you. I said, oh God, if this man leaves, it's over. But I put up a good front. And they both left. And at that time, we was running about 30 or 40. And please don't take this wrong, because this ain't nothing to brag on. And yesterday we had 100. Every time God moved one out, God moved two in. I'm trying to tell you that God builds a church. Yeah. I heard a fellow say this one time, and I know there's a lot to it, and then I know you can take it too far. He said, my job is to fill the pulpit, and God's job is to fill the pew. I like it, amen. I'm just simply saying, hey, they got in one accord. And they left that place and shook that city for God and shook the world for God. Because they got in one accord. You reckon we could shake a little town if we all got in one accord? And I ain't talking about a Honda. Anybody listen? Tell you what they did. They got unified. They got unctionized. They had utterance. And they reached the uttermost. Because they were willing to do what God told them to do. I'm through. I preached this somewhere. Brother Donnie was there. When I preached, I think another message, it don't matter. But our life is too short. And our job is too great for us to be messing around.
my brother went to his best, my brother's 74 years old, not saved. And he went to his best friend's funeral, and I went with him and sat by my own brother, and his best friend died. And I sat there in the funeral with my brother who was lost. And my brother told me before I got to the funeral, he said, Alfred, who he's a lost man, he said, isn't it somewhere in the Bible that your life is like a vapor? I think God's dealing with him. I said, yes, Eddie, the Bible says your life is like a vapor. It appears for a little while, then it vanishes away. But you know what? Not only is life temporal, life can be transformed. Vapor was once water. Amen? But now it's left the water state and become a gas state. So vapor is transformed. It's transformed to a solid, amen, to a gas. But not only does water, vapor that's transformed, water seeks lower levels, but vapor seeks higher levels. Water seeks earthly things, and vapor seeks heavenly things. Water makes mud puddles. Vapor makes clouds. I've never seen anybody say, that's a pretty mud puddle. But I've seen a lot of people say, those are pretty clouds. Do you know how those pretty clouds got there? They come out of that mud puddle. That God, the Son, sucked it up. The Son, the S-U-N, Son, sucked up that mud puddle and made it a cloud, a white cloud. Not bad, hear me? But I'm telling you, one day my life was a dirty mud puddle. I was all messed up. Sin me, had me in a fix. But God, the Son, sucked me up and made something beautiful out of my life. Your life can be transformed. It is temporal. I got to pinch myself. I am 69 years old, pushing 70. I got to pinch myself, Brother Donnie. 70. Well, all you have to do is look in the mirror, Brother Willis. You know that. But I'm going on 70. I can't believe it. I'm telling you, life is very temporal. But thank God, about 42 years ago, mine got transformed. Hallelujah. I've become a child of God, from a sinner to a saint. God did that. And God can do that for us. But here's what has to happen. God wants us to get in one accord so we can see that happening everywhere. That's what they did when they got in one accord. Let's stand. Let's pray. We'll stand and pray. Father, oh God, help us tonight, Lord. The preacher said at the beginning of the service, we need help. God, we need help. God, we need God. God, we don't need what we can get from you. We need God. Help us tonight. Touch hearts. Work in lives. Transform our lives. God, even since we've been saved, oh God, we need you to touch our lives. And make us more like Jesus. Help us. Give us revival this week. Stir our hearts. God, please give me the right messages. Please, God, help me and when I preach not to be too long and not to be too short and not to use too many illustrations. And God, use what you... Oh, God, just control us and do something for us this week. That God, we need help. Help us, Lord. Visit this church. Visit us. Do something for us. God, is our prayer. We're helpless. We're hopeless without you. So I pray your will be done. Now, even tonight, may it start, God, with you working in our heart. In Jesus' name, heads are bowed, eyes are closed, nobody's looking. Let's get the song leader and maybe the pianist, organ. Ever how y'all do that? Come, play, sing, give an invitation. You need to come tonight. The altar's open. Let God help you tonight while they get ready to play and sing. You obey the Lord. You obey the Lord. Obey the Lord.
Have thine own way, Lord.
Have His way. Would you let the Lord have His way? Oh God, have your way in my life. I need revival. My family needs revival. My church needs revival. Do something for us, God. Do something for us, Lord.
After thy way.